Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is it is a great word today. It is a great word. God is on the job. And as we are studying the prophet Samuel, we have come from this baby who had to tell his boss, who had to tell his guardian, you and your sons are going to die because you're not doing right. We want to do right for God. We want to do right in whatever our assignment is to do. And Samuel now is giving Israel what they want, which is a king. They want a king because every other nation has a king, so we want to have a king. And how do we do so many times? Because this person has this, we want to have it too. Because he might give it to you, and you might not be prepared for it. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt of the not ready for it. We all have those moments where we get something that we're not ready to handle. But I love this word that God gave me today for a title, coming out of Psalms 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. We got to call upon God, not just in times of trouble. We got to call upon God in our good times. We got to call upon God in our bad times. We got to call upon God in the ugly times. We got to call upon God in the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got to call upon God in the sunshine and in the storm. We got to call upon God when we're having a good day and when we have a not so good day. We got to call upon God because his word says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We call upon God because he's always there. So years ago, C.C. Winans sang a song, He's Always There. And he is always there for you, for me, for all of us. He's there for the help of the hopeless. He's there for the happy. He's there for all of us. All we have to do is call on him. And he will answer. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. We stand on this word, Lord God, as we put on our full armor, Lord God, today. We ask you, Lord God, to guide us and lead us as the captain, as the major, as the general, as the absolute over your army. For you are in charge of our hopes. You are in charge of our life. Lord God, I pray this word permeates a heart, a mind, and a spirit, that those that listen in live and later, that they will get something out of your word, Lord God, that they will listen and something will hit their heart that they will think about the goodness of you, O God, the wonder of our Savior Christ Jesus, and all that he sacrificed for our lives. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the humble words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are the strength of my life. You are my redeemer. You are my hope in a future. You are my absolute. And you are with me always. So please use me, Lord, this morning for your glory. Your words heal hearts and minds and spirits. Let them get something out of this word as you increase and I decrease. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Most High God. And it's in the name of my Savior, your Son, my friend, who loves me, then and loves me now. In his name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Giving that honor that can only go to God, that can only go to the Savior, that can only be ignited by the Holy Spirit that is within each and every one of us. And I say again, let your light shine, family. Let your light shine. Let those that see you see God. Let those that see you see the Savior. Let those that see you see the light of the Holy Spirit. That when they see you, they know that you are a woman of faith. That you are God's anointed child. Ready to go to work. We are going to battle. Every day we battle against the enemy, who attacks everything about us. He attacks our heart. He attacks our mind. He attacks our spirit. He attacks our families. But we know we serve a mighty who with a flip of his wing can say, not today. Because understand, the enemy can only do what God allows. And when we come to that realization, we are able to fight. You can't touch me because my dad's not going to let you. You know, as kids, we talked. I know I did because I knew that my father had my back. I knew my godfather had my back. I knew my mother and my godmother had my back. That all the women that were raising me had my back. Believe me, we didn't have cell phones when I was growing up. But I can tell you one thing. Miss Lillian knew everywhere I had gone when I got on my little bike to go riding with my friends. She knew everywhere. And I mean that everywhere, from the south side to the north side. She knew everywhere I had went. She knew everywhere I had gone. She knew every place that my little bike was at. She knew it. And when I got home, she gave me my itinerary. Where'd you go? Oh, went over to, oh, yeah, you was over on 10th Street. Oh, you was over out by your mama's house. Oh, you was, oh, how you know all this stuff? And I'm thinking to myself, how does she know that? Because she had friends. And it was a village raising us children. I grew up in the village. And we need to start creating villages again. Too many of our children are dying because we let the village deteriorate. And I can honestly say I have no idea what the names of my neighbors are. Have lived in my home 10 years. Almost 20 years, actually. And honestly, I don't know my neighbors. I have no idea what their names are. I wave. I don't know him. Don't know him. Like open doors for us to get to know our neighbor so we can treat them as we love and love them as we love ourselves. So let's get in the word this morning. And as we say together, it is a what? Great word. It's a great word. Let's get giddy for Jesus. Hallelujah. And the word of God says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and that is the head of Saul, and kissed him and said, it is not, because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you should do. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you should do. Keep that in your mind as we continue in this word. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet them. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Then a man from there answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it becomes a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul said to him and his servants, where did you go? So he said, to look for the donkeys. When we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. So Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the manner of the kingdom he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord of Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you have said to him, no, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families. The family of Mitra was chosen, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, He could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him whose heart God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. He held his peace. And we got to hold our peace too. It's hard when people treat you awful. It's hard when you treat it like you're dirt. It's hard when folks come against you not to hold your peace. But we got to hold our peace, because understand, God fights for us. We don't have to fight for ourselves. We don't have to get all upset. We can let it go. Believe me, I've been there. Treated like dirt, held my head high. And I said, not today, because I know who I am. I'm a child of God, and folks couldn't understand how I could deal with it. I wasn't dealing with it. God was. And believe me, I did just fine and continue to do just fine because God stood with me. And we got to allow God to stand with us, because he will make your enemies your footstool. They can't look at you. You can look at them. You can walk with your head held high. Though you slay me, we got to trust in God. Hallelujah. We got to trust in God. Chapter 11 of the book of 1 Samuel. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition, I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel." Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all the territory of Israel. And then if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you." So the messengers came to Gibeah to Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. When he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help." Then the messengers came and reported to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you." So it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch, and killed Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in, that we may put them to death.'" But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. Then Samuel said to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace, offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. God will come through. Even when you think that your end is near, even though you think it's all over, even though you think that enemy is winning, even though you think that God has left you, he has not. He has not. He will send a king to Saul to keep you from getting your eye put out. He will send a Samuel to prophesy over your life to let you know that you are a child of God and he is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. 1 Samuel 10 and 9, life lessons. And again, for those that are just joining us on this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and I am coming out of the New King James Version. King James listeners who are like, where is she? I am out of New King James, which is as close to King James as I can get. I did not see a King James Version when I first purchased this Bible. And honestly, I am a New King James reader. I love New King James. I read King James because it's how I first started. But I like New King James better because it takes out all the extra and puts in what is absolutely necessary. And it puts it in a way that you can read King James and New King James together and not get lost. And as we continue, so when I say life lessons, life examples, life questions, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. And by doing this, he also gives us extras to enhance the message and enhance the lesson. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. When he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. It takes the spirit of the living God to turn us into other men and women, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. But such a transformation is God's will for every one of us. God's will, not ours. So many times we want our will to be done when it must be God's will. For God loves us like that. And he's always better than ours. His will is always better than ours. He will take us to places we've never been. He will show us sights we've never seen. He will give us dreams and visions. All we have to do is trust in him. And as Dr. Stanley said, we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and as always, y'all know how I do. We got to make sure we put it in context. And the context is giving sacrifices to God. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I love this word, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not, verse 2, and do not be conformed to what? This world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. Got to read it in context. And as he said, it takes the spirit of the living God to turn us into other men and women, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. But such a transformation is God's will for every one of us. Yet we should still pray that God would give us a heart that loves him and wants to obey him. Only with such a new heart will we be able to live the new life he calls us to. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We got to present ourselves to God. And this is a life question. What should I do when I feel the need to act in haste? What should I do? It says nowhere in Scripture does God tell anyone to rush into a decision. He just doesn't operate that way. Anyone in the financial world knows that success rarely follows a snap decision. Though at times we may need to hear from God quickly, God will never tell us to rush in blindly. We may have to move swiftly, but we can move swiftly in the will of God and still not hurry into a situation. Been there again, done that. Got the "I hurried in and made a mistake" t-shirt. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have rushed into situations that in the end we're like, why did I do that? That didn't make no sense. Understand, we got to learn to discern the voice of the enemy from the voice of God. Enemy will have you rush in, but God will give you a peace be still. Satan always encourages us to act immediately because he knows if we back off and think long enough, we may reconsider. How many people have made decisions they regretted for the rest of their lives? Got my hand up. Been there, done that. Psalm 27:14 exhorts us, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 62:5 explains to my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. If we feel an overwhelming urge to act spontaneously, we had better pull in the reins. God wants us to get all the details in their proper place. Come on now. King Saul lost his throne because he acted hastily. The prophet Samuel told him to wait for him 7 days at Gilgal till I come to you and show you what you should do. By the 7th day, Samuel still hadn't arrived with a hostile present on him. Saul decided to take matters in his own hands and be prepared burnt offerings. And he prepared burnt offerings to invoke the Lord's favor. As soon as he completed the offering, Samuel appeared. Saul offered some lame excuse that his rashness disqualified him for a long and peaceful reign. And we're going to be getting into that in tomorrow. We got to be very careful what we do. Don't rush in. Because the word of God in Proverbs says fools rush in. But we got to be righteous and we got to wait on the Lord. But again, I've been foolish. You got to tell your own, tell anybody but my own. I have been foolish many a day, rushing in instead of waiting on God. But again, God still has given me favor. So I tell God, please forgive me and help me to discern your voice over the voice of the enemy, because he slipped. Because we don't know the voice of God always. We haven't learned, like Samuel, to say, speak, Lord. But as every day goes on, I'm learning to say, speak, Lord. And I do what God says do, and every time it has worked out for my good when I waited on the Lord and not followed the voice of the sneaky snake into foolishness. So we got to wait. I say wait on the Lord, y'all. And this is what it says from Dr. Stanley. On the other hand, Nehemiah, cupbearer to King Xerxes, patiently waited for God's timing with gracious results. He fasted and prayed for many days, then waited for the right time to bring his concern before the king. Rather than dash into action, Nehemiah waited before God. In fact, he beseeched the Lord for a period of 4 months until one day the king himself asked Nehemiah why he seemed so downcast. Nehemiah explained the situation, and within days, the king sent him off to Jerusalem with all the necessary authority and building materials. Nehemiah waited until God put all the particulars in place, and then he moved. We should do the same. We got to wait. Don't be rash. Don't rush in. Wait on the Lord. And some more life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22. There he is, hidden among the equipment. Saul knew that God had chosen him to be king, and yet he tried to avoid God's will by running away. Throughout his rule, he let fear keep him from obeying God, and in the end, it cost him everything. And as we read this word, you'll understand what Dr. Stanley is talking about. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 27. How can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents. God's will looks neither impressive nor reasonable to some people, yet God does not require us to stand his will. Just obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. God is not rash. God is patient. God is kind. God is not easily provoked. We got to know who our Father is. And this is what it says, 1 Samuel 11 and 13. The Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel. When Saul honored the Lord and put him first, he enjoyed a successful and prosperous rule. In fact, Saul did great things for God when the Spirit of God empowered him and directed him. God can use us to do mighty things when we choose to be filled with his Spirit. And we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, y'all know that's one of them giddy for Jesus words. You know, you got to give it to Paul. That man could write. And we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 18. And we may have a little bit more because, as always, I'm a firm believer that when you read the word, you read it in context. Because so many times we have set under pastors and preachers and teachers that'll give you a snippet and then go full-fledged. But you have no idea what the context of that word is. And so to get in the context of this word, it says walk in wisdom. And we're going to start at verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that is the context, walking in wisdom. And let's get into a wisdom word, Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms 55, 16 through 23. Our title verse comes from Psalms chapter 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call on God, and the Lord shall save me. That should be in your highlightable scripture. That should be in your arsenal. When you are having the moments, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You got to believe it in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Selah, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, for war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Your burdens to the on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. That's another of your highlightables. You should have that again in your arsenal of scripture. Verse 16, as for me, I'll say it again. I want it in your mind. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. That is in your highlightable arsenal. When you need a word, you can flip through your Bible and see them highlights and know, okay, God. You say, Lord, I need a word, flip. There's that highlightable. But you, oh God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Understand that God will take out somebody that is messing with his anointing. Folks, you wonder why somebody died early, why somebody went through this or went through that. And sometimes God just takes good people because he's tired of them being mistreated. And so he takes his children home because he's like, oh, not anymore. I'm done. I'm taking them home where they can have to eat. We got to understand that God's way is not our way, but God's way is always the right way. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. You know, we can go out and act a fool. I've been there. Wanted to act up, but God held my peace. And it was hard when you know you're being mistreated. You know you're not being treated right by your bosses. Your bosses have said things to you that you know are totally inappropriate. And then they do some dirt. We better understand God will take care of them. When you go on about your life, God takes care of your enemies. And you wonder why somebody who you know did you dirt, all of a sudden they did. And then you look at the obituary, no church home. Then you understand they didn't know the Lord. And then you have some that, well, Noah Holland screamed, Lord, Lord, but don't know God at all. Don't know nothing about the goodness of the Lord. But God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. We got to trust God that even when we're going through a bad, it is for a reason because you have an anointing on your life and God is going to use you for great things. And this is what it says. The ways of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A wise son makes a father glad. But a foolish man despises his mother. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 through 46. And it says this. Now there was also a dispute among them, and this is the disciples, as to which of them should be considered the greatest, God's lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, or in King James, let him be as a child. And he governs as he is served. And I'm going to read that again. But not so among you. So the contrary, he who is among you, let him be as a younger, and he be who governs as he who serves. In other words, you got to be a servant to be better, to be governed. You got to be able to be served as well as served. We got to know how to be both a leader and a follower. But this is what he said, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Come on now. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What did Revelations tell you? Remember, you gotta, we gotta, that's why we read the whole entire Bible in a year. And by the time we end, we will be ending in Revelations chapter 22, verse 21. Just as we started in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it goes on to tell us, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might shift you as wheat. He's talking to Peter. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fall. Your faith shall not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Because remember, he told Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. Peter, the cussing it, fussing it, tried to get in him all the time. Jesus had to tell him, get behind me, Satan. And he lifted, no, you're not going to use him. Get behind me, Satan. Peter. Cock's gonna crow three times, and you're gonna have betrayed me. But he wept, he repented, and he became a mighty man of God. Killed, but in an X. They nailed him to the cross in an X. Looked like an X. His cross was an X. Because he said he wasn't worthy to die like Jesus. And in verse 33 it says, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you have denied three times that you know me. And I said betrayed, so I didn't mean betrayed. Judas betrayed, Peter denied. So I'm going to go back and correct myself. Before somebody said, well, you know, she really don't know her word. I do kind of know it a little bit. But I just say this. That's why you got to go back. And sometimes you got to say, oh, stop yourself. And make sure you go back to the word and say it the right way. So Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus three times. Killed himself. But everything that is written by the prophet will come to pass. And the prophet said it will be called. They knew that somebody would die in that field, that they would kill themselves. They knew it would be the betrayer. The prophet saw it in the Old Testament. And we will get to that as we get into the book of Isaiah. And it tells us this. Then he said to them, but now, he who has money. Oh, let me go back. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said nothing. He said, then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accompanied. And his disciples also followed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And I say it again, that's a highlightable. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. As we continue to highlight it, says, and when he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And when we go on through our trials, when we go on through our tribulations, when we going through, we need to get on our knees and say, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And let's go back and get a couple of highlights and life lessons from Luke chapter 22, 31. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. When Peter denied Jesus three times, Satan was invisibly working behind the scenes to encourage his spiritual failure. We must always remain on the alert to detect the activity of our adversary. Understand, he is always busy, always trying to create confusion in our spirit, trying to create stress and distress and distrust, hate, and divisiveness. We wonder why we're going through. Is because we are under attack. The Lord wants us to be brave. He wants us to be courageous. He wants us to stand strong. The devil wants us to be weak and in his power. But understand, he can only do what God allows. All we have to do is look at God's servant, Job. Job was the one that showed us what we must do. And we're going to go over to First Peter chapter 5, and it's verse 8 is what Dr. Stanley gives, but again, y'all know me, we're going to go back and get it all in context. And it says, submit to God, resist the devil. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in this world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We got to resist the devil. Sober. We got to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he will go after whoever he thinks he can get away with going after. But the word of God, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. We better understand that when the enemy comes through the mouth, because he loves that wicked tongue, just speak the truth and know who you are. I would trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. We got to have a word in our spirit. For me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I will cast my burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain me. We got to pray the word. He shall never permit the right. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Lord, in my righteousness, do not allow me to be moved. We got to pray the word. Pray until something happens. We got to learn how to push. Yes, the enemy's going to come at you. Yes, he's going to be a roaring lion trying to devour. But know who you are and who you belong to. And this is what Luke chapter 22, verse 43 says. An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. During Jesus' the most difficult hour, when he had to make the final decision to accept his Father's will and march to the cross, God sent him angelic help to encourage him. He will always give us just what we need. And that is our word for this morning. We have, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the teaching of his word. May you be blessed today. For this word is true. And you can stand on it. You can believe it. You can know that God is always with you. And he will never, ever leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. He will always be with you. End of the world. Hallelujah. And this is what our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, gave us this morning. Good morning. Don't let the cares of the world take you away from trusting in God. Is she always on point, y'all? She is always on point. When you put your trust in God, you will avoid living in misery and despair. Choose to trust him. Have a Tell It to God Tuesday. And all I can say is thank you, God, for our sister in Christ, for the gift that you have given her. And as always, she just takes the word that God has given us in our word and just puts it all together in a nice package that God has given her to give to us. Don't let the cares of the world take you away from trusting in God. When you put your trust in God, you will avoid living in misery and despair. Choose to trust him. Have a Tell It to God Tuesday family. Thank you so very much for listening in this morning. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to God today that he has given us a mighty, mighty word. If there's anyone that has a word from God or would like to speak, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And all you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And if not, we are wrapping it up this morning. And I just want to tell you all, thank you again for joining us for Bible study, for letting the word of God permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And know that you can stand tall because you are a child of God and he loves you more than anything. And remember our word for this morning, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Whatever you're going through, call upon the name of Jesus and know that the Lord our God, through Jesus Christ our Savior, will ignite that Holy Spirit in you and you will be saved. And the word tells us again, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. Hallelujah. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Be strong, my sisters. Be strong, my brothers. Be strong, men and women of God, for God is with you wherever you go. As Joshua says, be strong and courageous. Did God not command that of us? Be strong and courageous and know that whatever the enemy throws at you, you got a God that's at bat knocking that ball out of the park. Hallelujah. thanking you so much again for joining us. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Thank you again for listening in live, and those that are listening later, may you also be blessed, and may God continue to watch over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. As we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. And for those just joining us, WRAP is an acronym for Willing, Ready, Available, Praying. And we are always willing, ready, available, praying for each and every one of you. Have a blessed day as we pray over you. Father God, we thank you for those that have listened live and those that listen later. We ask you, Lord, to cover them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And those of wicked tongues that speak against them, Lord, that they will cease. For you, Father God, are in charge. And Lord God, as we go through our day today, we give it all to you. Lord, we will call upon you and know that you shall save us. Thank you, Father God, for this word. Thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. For you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. You are our Father. And we put our trust in you. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus, I pray over each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap. Thank you so much. God bless. Have a great day. Again, what is it? It is a wrap. Hold on. We got one caller before we get out of here.
Unmuted.
Caller 4727, your line is open.
Your line is open.
Oh, I just wanted to say for you, Angel, I thank God for you every morning that I listen to you. I thank God for the knowledge and the wisdom that he gives you. It's a pleasure and a joy. That's all I wanted to say, Minister Bridget.
So much, Mother Rita. We love you. We love you, love you, love you, sis. All kind of hugs your way. Have a blessed and wonderful day, woman of God, because you are important to all of us. And we just love you to pieces. Take care and know that I appreciate you. Every time I tune in, I'm like, okay, where's mom? And you're always there. Thank you so much. And God bless you and keep you. And let his light shine upon you. Have a blessed day, family.
It's a wrap.
You too. Okay.